It's Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson. A new study out of UPenn's Wharton School this week took a deep look at how crowdfunding site Kickstarter has made an impact on the economy. The study says Kickstarter has created 300,000 part-time and full-time jobs and almost 9,000 new companies. Since 2009, Kickstarter has helped founders give the world the Pebble Watch, the Oculus Rift, documentaries, albums, and one guy's $55,000 potato salad party. So we got Kickstarter's founder and CEO on the line, Yancey Strickler. Thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you helped with the data gathering for this particular study. The tricky thing about data, right, is that the way it is gathered and represented can make for a story with bias. So tell me a little bit more about how you provided this data.
Yeah, we've been collaborating over the past year with the University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School there, to study what happens after Kickstarter projects are funded. And so it's actually been a two-part study. Last year, we looked into what happens, how many projects fail to follow through on what they intended to do. And there, the researchers found that 9% of projects ultimately are unable to complete the project as they had originally envisioned it. And then this week, we sort of have the flip side, which is found that successfully funded Kickstarter projects have produced 300,000 full-time and part-time jobs, more than $5 billion in additional economic impact for their communities, and have created 8,800 new companies and nonprofits. So, you know, through working with the University of Pennsylvania and Wharton for the first time, we really have a holistic sense of what this model, what this community has done, and we're thrilled.
Did you give them sort of like unrestricted access? How did this work in terms of the data transfer?
Yeah, we were actually nowhere a part of the process. They were directly contacting backers and creators and asking them questions.
So, got it.
We provided, I think, some information on how to contact people, but nothing beyond that. Really, it was the researchers on their own, and then they came back to us showing us the findings that they came across. And so, you know, we discovered them the same way that people are discovering them now that they're public today.
One of the interesting findings here is that Kickstarter has allowed people already in a creative industry to be even more creative in ways, like follow passion projects that their regular employer wouldn't necessarily support.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the things that really popped for me looking at this is the degree of sort of semi-professional creative people that are able to be supported through this. And that's a great victory to us. You know, I hate the idea that being a artist or a creator is a binary thing. I think it's something that we all do in various parts of our lives. And one of the goals of Kickstarter was to make that more possible. So of the 300,000 jobs created, for instance, like 275,000 have been part-time jobs, where maybe someone who's typically an illustrator that helps out on someone's children's book, actually they get paid to do that now rather than just doing it as a favor. So there is a lot of people who are, I think, moonlighting, you know, publishing books, trying to make a short film, et cetera. And then there are people that are going on to create, you know, companies and nonprofits that go on to wide acclaim, you know, things like Oculus or Pebble most famously. But there's a broad spectrum there, and it's a tool that's been quite useful for a very broad spectrum of people.
Kickstarter kind of democratizes art in a way, but there's a part of the creative community that creates a real kind of outsider art. Not the Oculuses, not the Pebbles, right? Which is good, but doesn't necessarily have a wide base of popularity. Is there space for that on Kickstarter, like these really, I think, unique projects that might not win broad appeal?
Yeah, the idiosyncratic is the bread and butter of Kickstarter. Certainly, we're known most famously for these big technology hardware things, but 80% of what's happening on the site is not that at all. It's people making films, publishing books, making magazines, producing crafts, putting on plays, all very creative things where no one's making any money off of this. The whole idea is just to take something from concept to reality and to explore something with your passion and with a group of patrons supporting you. I mean, that is the heart and soul, the bread and butter of this platform. And, you know, that's what's so exciting to us. We think that Kickstarter is giving more people the courage to create and to put themselves out there. And we think it's creating a new generation of patrons who are happy to support their friends, their neighbors, their family members, their peers and helping them put ideas out into the world. This is a tremendous thing. It's something to feel incredibly positive about. It's altruistic. It's unselfish. And it really is changing how culture is produced and the diversity of culture around us.
Last fall, Kickstarter reincorporated as a public benefit corporation, which means, I guess, helping the public as a goal in addition to making money. Have the projects funded by Kickstarter changed since then? Have you seen that?
I don't think so. I mean, our switch to become a public benefit corporation, where we operate almost like a type of public utility or public trust, has always been in our ethos, is always how we have behaved. And this just cemented it legally and made it something binding that future generations of Kickstarter leaders, if we are fortunate enough to be around, will also follow these same principles. I think that the Kickstarter community and the creative community identifies with that. I believe that these are people who are inspired to create and to go about their lives not in the pursuit of money, but in the pursuit of passion and ideas. And, you know, I think this clearly aligns us with them. And we're just coming from a very similar ethos and space. It's something very important to us. We don't ask people to follow, you know, all these principles and ideals that we put out. But, you know, I think a lot of people probably feel quite positively about doing business with Kickstarter as a result of this.
A lot of people, I would assume, use the mobile version of the site as well as, you know, give money and browse the site on desktop. Can you look into the future for me a little bit and tell me how you see technology is changing how creative work is being funded?
I mean, certainly this model that we use has a long history. Its origins are in the patronage systems of the 17th century. You know, this is the Renaissance. This is Mozart. This is Whitman. This is Beethoven. A lot of their works were funded by patrons. In those days, very rich people, often like members of the Catholic Church or business leaders, supporting the creation of art. You know, because of the web and because of technology, we are able to democratize that model to such a large degree. $2.5 billion changing hands between people at an average amount of $25. And so, you know, that model that has been around for centuries, that has been at the core of a lot of cultural production, now has the chance to flourish and become so much bigger as a result of social media. You know, what the next era of technology will be for us, you know, it's I have no idea. I'm just as clueless as the next person about what, you know, next big idea may be around the corner that changes the way that we interact with each other. But certainly the scale and the ease of communication and connection makes that patronage model, which helped Da Vinci, helped the greatest artists of our time, is now something that's being used by a documentary filmmaker making a film about a war zone, someone trying to open a restaurant for the first time. It's incredible the degree of accessibility it's brought. And certainly, you know, the pace of technology is unlikely to slow. And I imagine that we'll be working in all sorts of ways that we can barely imagine.
A lot of people say that creative fields are supposed to be hard to break into. Is there a danger that Kickstarter is letting people follow their pipe dreams instead of finding real rewarding work?
I greatly disagree with the idea that you must be this good to get on this ride in terms of being a creative person. I really disagree, and I think that attitude in society is challenging. You know, there are a lot of kids who learn the piano, who play violin. And it feels like there aren't a lot of like pretty good 30-year-old violinists. It's like when you're 18 and you realize you can't make it into the London Symphony, you obviously are just supposed to quit and give it up. But,
right.
You know, I disagree with this notion of it's go pro or bust. You know, I don't think that is helpful. I don't think that's a realistic reflection of how we live our lives. And, you know, our hope is that Kickstarter can provide a type of validation for that person that, yeah, has a day job. Yeah, their family is their priority. Their church is their priority. But still, they want to explore ideas. They want to put themselves out there. They want to see what they're made of. And, you know, I think that is no less valid than someone who is Juilliard trained and an expert and et cetera. I think both of those voices have something to say, and we want to help empower them.
Lots of projects on the site are good. Not all of them are popular. What would you say to those projects that are good but aren't able to achieve popularity on the site?
Well, you know, certainly the challenges of finding an audience are, it's probably the most significant challenge for any sort of idea now. I mean, that's the nature of the web. We're all swimming in way too much. You know, what I would say is that the Kickstarter community is big, but not overwhelming. At any given time, there's about 5,000 projects being funded. It's not like YouTube where there's 5 million minutes being uploaded every minute or whatever it is. But, you know, every project support starts with a network of people around it. You need your friends and family to validate you and say, yeah, Jane is awesome. You got to support her. What we find is that once projects have reached about 30% of their funding goal, they start to see a lot of support from strangers. About 35 to 40% of the pledges on Kickstarter are coming from people you are not connected to, people from outside of your network. So a lot of discovery happens on the platform. It's why people launch with us. But typically that only happens after you have been validated by your core group of support. So I would say, you know, just start with the people that know and love you and let them create momentum for you and let the Kickstarter community discover you and get excited about your project.
What's the weirdest project you've seen on the platform in recent days, something that you haven't mentioned to people yet or talked about yet?
Well, the two most recent projects I have backed, one is a documentary about Curious George, about the books and the authors of it. I was a Curious George reader as a kid. The doc looked cool. I'm very curious. So I just supported that a couple days ago. Another recent one was a project from the Marshall Project, which is a project exploring the challenges of mass incarceration in America. And it's telling the stories of people who have been put into prison for long periods of time. Just a really great, innovative journalistic project. I think that shows a nice sense of the spectrum of what's happening on the site.
Uh-huh.
But in New York this weekend, there's a Kickstarter festival in Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn where, you know, people be able to play massive games and interact with lots of projects. And I was just at a similar event in Berlin last week. And, you know, there are things out there that people are experiencing that they're going to, restaurants where they're eating, theaters where they're seeing movies, that got their support to the platform. And so it's a very wide spectrum of, yes, the very odd and idiosyncratic and why in the world is someone doing that, to things that I think we enjoy on a daily basis. So we love being able to help both the practical and the frivolous.
Yancey Strickler is CEO and co-founder of Kickstarter. Yancey, thank you very much for talking to me.
Cheers. Thank you.